Welcome to the Essential Knowledge Updates podcast from the Royal College of General Practitioners. My name is Dirk Pilat and I'm the clinical lead for the project. Today's podcast will be focusing on one of general practice's most challenging problems, and by that I don't mean the tea-making rota, but our ability to manage patients with medically unexplained symptoms, or, as it's been called, bodily distress syndrome, somatization disorder, conversion disorder, or pain syndrome. According to some of the data, up to 50% of patients present with this challenging symptom complex. One of the new modules in EKU-8 is based on Todd Edwards' review of the literature on medically unexplained symptoms in primary care in last December's Mental Health and Family Medicine Journal. Dr. Alan Cohen, the director of primary care at the West London Mental Health Trust, worked on the module for EKU. Alan, how was it working on this topic?
It was difficult, but very interesting. Medically unexplained symptoms is something that we all face as GPs, but is really difficult to pin down with any diagnostic accuracy. There's no single blood test that will say this person has symptoms that are as yet unexplained. And it was a complicated summary of some difficult presentations.
What do you think is the key issue here for primary care? If, as a GP, you see a patient that you are starting to investigate and treat for a certain symptom complex, and then slowly after the third or second visit, you start feeling there is something more here.
The issues specifically for primary care are around excellent consultation style and being able to pick up on a variety of different triggers and signs that may indicate there is more going on here, as well as the whole tenor of the consultation. One of the characteristics of consultations with people with medically as yet medically unexplained symptoms is that often either the patient or the doctor ends the consultation feeling very dissatisfied, that in some way the consultation hasn't been successful, there hasn't been agreement between the patient and the doctor as to what the outcome of the consultation has been. And that's one of the features that makes consultation so difficult and why it's such a hard area to get one's head around about how to improve.
You mentioned in your workup of the review that doctors who focus on physical symptoms actually are more likely to miss consultation clues for emotional support, and that after, in the end of a consultation, you should go through the well-practiced net of connecting, summarizing, handing over, and safety netting. But how can you actually safety net or hand over if you're sure that most of the symptoms are actually, well, somatization?
There's no reason not to do that if they're somatization. The issue often with people with these symptoms, which are as yet unexplained, is that often anxiety and or depression coexist. And trying to draw out those issues as part of the summary is often quite helpful. Trying to understand how the patient's symptoms are understood by the patient, what they represent and what the patient fears that they might mean, are part and parcel of any consultation, but much harder in this group if you've already gone down the route of this is a physical illness only. Mm-hmm. And it's about the classic role of the GP of remaining open to more than it just being backache, more than it just being a cough, that makes it in almost all cases a primary care perspective.
So the way you describe this, it really appears that this particular symptom complex is particularly appropriate to be dealt with in primary care, isn't it?
For the vast majority of people, absolutely. There's a very small number of patients who end up in secondary care consuming very large quantities of healthcare resources that are very difficult to manage and help. And we can all think of one or two of these. But they're, by and large, a very much smaller proportion than the very large number of people who attend primary care. In the EKU, there's some references indicating that something like 20% of consultations are in primary care for people with medically unexplained symptoms. What's worth pointing out, a significant number of these resolve spontaneously, that people get better by themselves and don't need further input. But only about 5% of consultations are for people with significant disability. And it's this group that have psychological problems as well, have consumed large quantities of healthcare resources, and are often unemployed. So the combination of unemployment, a mental health problem, and physical health symptoms are one of the things that characterize this group of people.
On top of that, you mentioned that the actual money spent by the NHS of these patients is vast, comparable to diabetes.
Absolutely. There's over £3 billion a year for the year 2008-2009. And of that £3 billion, something like just under half is for inpatient care. So there is an opportunity for GP commissioners to think about the role of liaison psychiatry to manage this relatively small number of people and to get them out of hospital beds. So that the opportunity, there's a good opportunity there for getting a good bang for your buck by focusing on the relatively small number of people with medically unexplained symptoms who remain in hospital.
So, what do you think is the most important development resulting from this review for primary care?
I think that the first development is the continued push that the Royal College has made around excellent consultation techniques, because without excellent consultation techniques, we will never be able to help this group of people. Having identified this group, that they have psychological as well as physical symptoms, then access to appropriate psychological therapy is very important. And putting aside all the questions and comments about the NHS reforms, there is a further £400 million being invested in psychological therapies on top of the 370 odd that's already been set aside. So that access to psychological therapy for these people over the next 3 years should not be a problem.
That would be within the IAPT
Within the
program, right?
IAPP program, correct,
Yeah.
yes.
And did the review actually highlight any new therapies that you can use apart from having excellent consultation skills?
I think that's the thing. There's no magic bullet. There's no new treatment.
I presume there's not a new tablet either.
And sadly not. There is not a new tablet, no new silver bullet that will solve this problem, which is why it's about concentrating on what GPs do really well, which is a consultation, and having access to psychological therapies, which for the vast majority is going to work as well as anything. There are issues around medication, and for some people, without doubt, medication, antidepressants, is entirely appropriate. For another group of people, there is a organization of care called collaborative care, which is advocated in the NICE guidelines for depression, and works well for people with medically unexplained symptoms. But how one translates those NICE guidelines based on American research into day-to-day practice in England is difficult. And there are no good examples that I'm aware of where collaborative care is running within a primary care service. It's something that, again, commissioners might be interested in as being a really good way of managing both this group of patients that have a higher resource and those who have a physical long-term condition like diabetes or COPD and coexisting psychological problems.
So it really looks like that I have to dig out my Roger Neighbor books again, doesn't it?
I think it is. I think the basis of managing people with medically unexplained symptoms in primary care is excellent consultation style. Go back to Roger Neighbor, go back to the things that you learned when you were a trainee or registrar, and they're the things that we need to concentrate on.
Alan Cohn, thank you very much. And there you have it. Like so many things in general practice, it comes down to good consultation styles. Somehow reassuring. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Dirk Pilat, and this has been the EKU 8 podcast. It was produced with a very noisy Skype connection, the free and open audio production tool Audacity, and the music you heard at the beginning of the podcast was by Matt Bianco. Goodbye.